Hi, welcome to the Break Free from Your Depression Telesummit. I'm Katie Wagner, and today we are going to speak with Tamara Starr. Tamara believes happiness is not an end destination, but instead the ability to see the ordinary through eyes of wonder. If you let her, she'll show you how to take the life you're living and turn it into a life you'll love. Tamara Starr is an international best-selling author, a life coach, and the creator of the original 40-day personal reboot camp for women. The 40-day personal reboot camp is a 6-week virtual deep dive into clearing the slate of what's no longer working to create a bridge that leads to a happier, healthier, more abundant life. You can find more about it on her website, dailytransformations.com/programs. Her first book, a quick and easy read, titled How to Survive a Breakup and Come Out Thriving, is available on Amazon. Her co-authored book, Sexy Secrets to a Juicy Love Life, sits on the international bestsellers list. Tamara's global reach inspires over 30 million people a month in 20 countries through programs, newsletters, and teachings. She's spent over 25 years as a straight shooting guide, delivering intuitive truth while utilizing traditional and non-traditional methods to get results. I want to welcome Tamara. I am so excited about this interview.
Thank you. I am too.
So let me start by asking you if you can share with us your story. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, let's see. I had a very tumultuous childhood, lots of drama, and I always just wanted to be happy. You know, I was always looking ahead, you know, one day I'll be out of the house, I'll be happy. And then it was, you know, one day I'll be out of high school and I'll be happy. One day I'll be out of college. And it was always one of these days I'm going to be happy. So pretty much my entire life has been in the pursuit of happiness. When I was in third grade, somebody asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I said, happy. And they said, you know, no. I mean, what do you want to be? And I honestly didn't know, because all I had in mind was this end goal of happiness because I was so unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of what led me to what I do now as a coach and a writer and a guide toward happiness.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about that? What exactly do you do?
Well, I do a variety of things. I do one-on-one intuitive coaching via Skype and phone. But what I do most is I run these 40-day personal reboot programs throughout the year. And it's a 6-week deep dive into removing, you know, what blocks us from our happiness. I believe happiness is our natural state, but we get so in our heads and we overthink things, and then life happens to us and, you know, we get knocked down, we get back up, we get knocked down, we get back up. And eventually we get knocked down so many times that we crawl back up, but we're not in our true essence. We're kind of beat to crap by life, and we forget mm-hmm. how to be happy. So these 40-day reboot programs is a deep dive into, you know, peeling back the layers, clearing the slate, and I like to say hitting the reboot button to find, you know, that natural happiness by removing all the stuff over our heads and our eyes and our hearts that prevent us from seeing who we really are and, you know, how to tap back into that natural happiness.
Now, have you ever suffered with depression?
You know, I wouldn't say I've suffered from depression to the point that I've been medicated, but I will say that I have been so far down on my knees that I've contemplated suicide. I had a very dark time 7 years ago that I thought, okay, now I get it. Now I get why people end it. I thought, you know, maybe, you know, I thought, God, you know, for a brief second, I thought, okay, I'll take a bunch of pills, get in the bathtub, slit my wrist, and drink a fifth of vodka. And, you know, it was like a split second thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be sure to do it. And I thought, there's no way. I believe in past lives. And I thought, I don't want to come back and repeat all the lessons that I believe I signed up for.
Right.
And, you know, friends and family and my sweet dog and cat, they would never understand what happened. So, you know, while my answer to no, I've never been depressed, is a no, really people that hear that story think, well, no, honey, you definitely were depressed. Mm-hmm. You were down on your knees.
Yep. So what happened during that time?
It was horrible. In a 30-day period, I lost a baby at 9 weeks in vitro. I had to put down a 17-year-old pet and a 16-year-old pet in a 10-day period. I lost my relationship. I was sued by someone who had stalked me out of state. And it sounds crazy, but when you're not served papers and you don't know you're being sued, you don't show up. And when you don't show up, no matter how crazy the lawsuit is, there's a judgment against you. And because I owed no real debt, I would just pick up my mail about once a month because, you know, I'd pay my bills, but there was really nothing urgent to worry about. And I was lax in checking my mailbox. And I missed the notice of, you know, there's been a judgment against you, your accounts are garnished. So one day after losing the baby, I went to the ATM. I'll never forget. It was a July morning. I had a white pair of shorts on with 40 cents in my pocket. And I went to use my ATM card, and all my accounts were emptied. And I went right over to the bank, and I went in, and I knew the vice president. She called me into her office, and she goes, "What happened? All of your accounts have been emptied. You've been garnished, and there's a judgment against you." So I had to declare bankruptcy for this huge judgment against me. So I was left with zero. I had 40 cents in my pocket. I had nothing. And all of this. And then my relationship broke up. I can't remember if I mentioned that or not. So all of this happened in a one-month period. And I remember I would wake up in the morning, and the minute my eyes would open, the magnitude of everything would hit me. It felt like there was a 50-pound weight on my chest. And I didn't know whether I should cry over the loss of the baby and the relationship and my pets, or freak out because I could be homeless in a month, mm-hmm. you know, with no money. So I didn't know where to let my mind focus. And it was the darkest, deepest time, darkest, deepest, dark night of the soul of my entire life.
So how did you...
Like my heart's beating just thinking about it.
Well, I have, to be honest, I have chills.
My stomach hurts just going back into that energy.
So how did you break free from it?
Well, I did a couple of things, and, you know, I definitely want to talk about it today, but I also want to just let people jot down. There's an article I wrote. If you Google Tamara Starr, when life blows up on every level, it'll pop up. And it's also, I think it's under how to bounce back when life blows up. And I kind of step by step go through what I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I got very primal. Like once I realized I was suicidal and, you know, my hormones were out of control, I mean, had I gone to a shrink, they would have put me on Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
But once I realized that everything was out of control, I got really primal in how I handled it. So I would wake up in the morning and I would count on my fingers and toes 10 things that I was still grateful for. And when I say I got primal, it were things like the sky's blue, my dog is laying next to me, I'm still alive, you know, I can walk, I can, you know, and I just, things that seem that we take for granted, because truly I couldn't come up with, you know, anything else to be grateful for. But that would shift my energy just enough that I would get out of bed. Mm-hmm. And then I would shower immediately, because I believe, you know, showering and bathing is like an energetic wash. It kind of clears the slate. And we've all been sick for days where you take your first shower finally and you feel like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So I would set the day up that way with gratitude, a shower, I get dressed, I would eat breakfast, and then I would do whatever I could to try to generate money. And, you know, I had a job, so I would do my job. And I would also consider my worst case scenario. And I know that sounds negative. I teach people to be happy through gratitude and all sorts of different techniques. But I would take it to the worst case scenario because I knew I needed to calm my mind. So worst case scenario, I would sell everything I owned and I would couch surf. I would loan my dog and my cat out to friends to take care of. I would go to the grocery store and get free samples of food. I would, you know, call a friend and eat dinner at their house. Like I really did worst case scenario if no money would come in those 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because I needed to take care of like the primary worries, food, shelter, you know, things like that.
So that you can survive.
Right. And then, you know, I let myself feel it all. I cried a lot. I was really sad over the relationship, really sad over the baby, really sad over my two pets. You know, I was really lost. And it was interesting, though, because that was such a fertile time for me. I learned who my real friends were,
mm-hmm.
who showed up for me when I wasn't the bright and shiny, happy, entertaining person I usually am. And I got in touch with who really could sense when something was up with me, because I didn't tell everybody what had happened for obvious reasons, but there were a few surprising people in my life that noticed and said, hey, you seem a little off. You know, what's going mm-hmm. on with you? I also found out who and what were my energy drains, because when you have nothing to give anybody else, absolutely nothing, you find out who's been feeding off your energy, if that makes any sense, because those people disappear. And when I didn't have anything to give anybody else, I could only be around the people that would love and nurture me, and I got to feel what it was like to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're an overgiver in the world, you know, you don't know how to receive. So I learned how to receive during that time too. So I really, there were so many gifts that were born of that time. And like I tell many, many clients that are so down and depressed, if you can realize that your situation is happening for you and not to you, you take your power back. And I took responsibility for a lot of the situation. You know, I knew I was in the wrong relationship. I knew I was going to get pregnant that night. I was fertile.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, it was inevitable that my cats were going to go. They were extremely old. Had I checked my mail every day like normal people, I would have seen something was up probably a lot sooner and could have done something to stop it. Could I have stopped the lawsuit? No, because I wasn't served properly. But, you know, all of that did happen to me. I was definitely victimized in the 30-day period. But in order to take my power back and stand back up, I had to look at the gift in everything and my responsibility in everything.
It sounds hard.
It was really hard. But, you know, when you're knocked down and there's nothing else you can do, you can either give up and kill yourself, which is not an option, or you just have to start taking some control back. And the way we take control back is we can control our own thoughts. We can control our own emotions. So when I would start to, my dog's going to bark, so let me apologize in advance. Maybe not. But when you know, the gratitudes in the morning and the shower and getting my dog outside and walking with her would raise me, can you hear?
Yeah.
Oh, close the door. Would raise my mood just enough that I could do my job. I could make the phone calls I needed to make to generate income. And then when the doom and gloom would hit me like a dark cloud, I would get up, I would drink a big glass of water because we all know that hydration affects the brain, and I would go outside with my dog again, and I would do my gratitudes. I would listen to the sound of the birds. I would feel the air on my skin. I would notice the color of the sky, and I would give myself a gratitude list again, and I would calm myself down with my worst-case scenario plan, and then I would go back inside, and I would start working again. And it sounds so primal and so simple, but that's what kept me going.
Mm-hmm.
I knew if I got on some medication, and I know there are people that are chemically imbalanced. I am not at all against medication when it's necessary. But I knew what I was going through was something that if I medicated myself and dulled the pain, my recovery from this would last years versus going through it. Going through that dark night of the soul and rising like a phoenix through the flames.
Wow. You were very courageous.
I didn't have a choice. I didn't have a choice because my father is no longer alive and my mother has absolutely no money. There's no way she could help me. And, you know, I had a few friends that, you know, covered my rent for me and helped me out. But truly, it was on my shoulders, so I didn't have another choice. I had to. My choice was either end it all and leave my dog and my cat alone, and then in my belief system, repeat it all over again, because I believe my soul signed up for every lesson in this life, or work through it. And what I ended up doing was taking all that crap that life threw me, and I turned it into fertile compost. And now everything I teach, everything I write, stems from not only my childhood and my life experiences, but that period of time. And I figured, okay, if I can survive this, then I've got something to teach other people. And that's why I tell people, if they can come to the conclusion that what's happening to them is actually happening for them, their brilliance, their gift on this planet lies in those darkest moments. And some of the brightest, shiniest people on this planet choose on a soul level to go through the worst hell to prove to themselves that they can stand back up and then go out and teach others or go out and make a difference in another way. You know, we don't all have the same path, you know, but I really believe that everything that happens to us is meant to be fertile compost to help us grow and thrive, not just survive, but thrive.
Mm-hmm. What do you think attributes to depression and people starting to kind of get sucked into that state of mind?
Well, I'm going to be controversial here, and I'm probably going to piss off a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm speaking from my own experience and from what I see in my clients. And I am not a clinical psychologist, but I believe that we fall into depression when we get too far up in our mind and we overthink. I think, you know, what's that old saying, idle hands, or, you know, get yourself in trouble when you're not busy enough. I think when we're not productive and busy enough in our lives, we start to overthink things. And I think when horrible things happen to us, we, you know, we definitely have to take the time to be sad and angry and guilty and fearful and feel all those emotions and all those stages of resolution that we have to go through. We cannot ice a cake beautifully and have it made of crap. You know, we have to, you know, feel our emotions, but then we have to get moving. And when we overthink things and we spin out in our own heads, it's almost like self-indulgence. And I tell my clients, you know, when we deal with depression and we deal with hard times in life, I help them clear the slate and start over. That's what my specialty is. But then I say, work out every day. Get those endorphins. Drink a lot of water. Stay hydrated. And help other people. Volunteer. When we get outside of our own heads and we help other people, it clears up so much space in our world. And our depression lessens. And we get out of the habit of thinking about what's wrong in life versus what's right.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense? I'm on my soapbox.
No, it does. And
okay.
I do think that there is something to be said about overthinking. I mean, I do it all the time. But at
we
the same time, I do think there are a lot of people out there that are very busy but are still depressed. So I don't think I quite agree with you have to stay busy in order to not be depressed, but I think it's an overthinking thing.
Maybe
more than
I should
a busy
have said
thing.
Stay busy. But I mean, like, when I say stay busy, it means, you know, a lot of depressed people won't leave the house. They won't
right.
stay in bed. They're so depressed. And, you know, they need to make their gratitude less. They need to start focusing on what they are grateful for instead of what they're not. They need to get out of bed. They need to shower. They need to get dressed. They need to work with a therapist to feel their emotions and understand where things are stemming from. They need to work out. They need to eat right and get the proper balance of fat and carbs and protein. And they need to get outside of their own thoughts. And when I say get busy, volunteer. You know, start to look
mm-hmm.
around the world and see how lucky you are in comparison to somebody else. That's what I mean by get busy. Not just shove it under the carpet. Yeah, thank you for calling me out on that, because I wouldn't want that to be the impression of what I'm suggesting.
So how do you think people can get the, I don't know if willpower is the right word, the desire to complete that, to fulfill that?
I think realizing that the level of misery and sadness and depression that you're feeling is so intense that it makes your brain loop in this never-ending cycle of that.
Mm-hmm.
And until you can change your patterns and rewrite your neuropathways, you're going to stay in that. So the choice, you know, Tony Robbins talks about people are motivated by pain. Some people are motivated by recognition. To become motivated to get out of that pain, to concentrate on getting, you know, how it would feel to not feel that way, to be motivated to make these changes, knowing that what you're feeling is unbearable, and to realize that doing anything is going to start to shift that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that the brain responds to our every thought with a new neuropathway. Every time we have a thought about our lives being, you know, our depressed thoughts, we create a new neural pathway that then something called the left prefrontal cortex, and I'm really, you know, I'm not a clinical neurologist, but in layman's terms, the left prefrontal cortex in the brain responds to our every thought and looks for proof in the world to prove us right. So when we stay in our mind and overthink and stay on our depressed thoughts, we just keep laying down more neural pathways, and our brain looks for proof out in the world that things are never going to change.
Interesting.
So when I say get busy, beyond the normal working with a clinical therapist and processing our feelings and understanding where things come from and why things happened, when I say get busy through movement and gratitude lists and helping others, it starts to create new neural pathways. And we literally rewire our brain.
So you had spoken about a 40-day program that you offer. What is that all about?
It's we go through 6 weeks. And we clear the slate. Every week is a new subject. Week one, we literally clear out energetically and physically our home environment. We go through, you know, the energetics of our belongings and our memories, and we do some feng shui, and we create a fresh slate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you walk into a fresh hotel room on vacation and everything's so clean and clear, it just makes you relax and you feel so
mm-hmm.
expansive. You know, so we create that at home for our first week, and it's a very busy week. Next week, I might have the orders out on the next couple of weeks, but then we dive into our relationship to ourselves, old memories, belief systems that we took on that no longer serve us. We sort of rewrite the story of our lives. And then we dive into our relationship with others. I help women, you know, enhance their relationships with their partners. I give them some secrets on men and relationships, help them create healthy boundaries and recognize toxic friendships and energy drainers. Then we dive into our thoughts, patterns, and habits we've picked up from our ancestors around money. We talk a lot about abundance and generating the flow of money. And then finally we go over, I feel like I'm missing a week, but we go over diet. Not from a cleansing or dieting sort of aspect, but just what I call the evil five that contribute to brain fog and, you know, even depression, sugar, you know, alcohol, too much caffeine, wheat, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to partake in my raw food recipe guide to add some raw food in, perfect timing with spring. And we really change up our habits in every aspect of life, because I believe the way we do anything is the way we do everything. And if we keep doing the same thing over and over again in life, we're going to keep getting the same experience in the same life. So this is an opportunity for 6 weeks to completely change everything up.
So if someone is sitting at home listening to this, do you think that the first step for them should be to start with that gratitude list, start going into the shower, start getting themselves outside and living in the moment? Or does your program address that from the very beginning?
My program addresses that from the beginning, but if somebody's sitting at home and they're depressed, I would suggest those steps that you just said and making sure that they have somebody in their life they can process with. a therapist if they can't afford a therapist. If there's a local college, there's tons of grad students that will give therapy for free just to get credit. I really suggest they reach out, first of all, to a licensed therapist, because mm-hmm. there's going to be some processing that needs to happen, and we don't want to burn out our friends on what's going on for us. But yes, absolutely, the steps that you just repeated for me, is it will get them out of the house, and right. and they will start to feel more hopeful. And absolutely, I think my program, so many women have said to me, you know, my outlook is just sunnier.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that people should go and get help, and I was just wondering if you had any help when you were going through what you
Oh, absolutely. I reached out to a therapist. I reached out, you know, I'm very much ingrained in the esoteric. You know, I dove back into family dynamics, you know, ancestral patterns, why I chose, you know, the man, why I chose the situation that ended up having me get sued. You know, I wanted to take my personality is one that wants to take a lot of responsibility and understand why I did things I did and then learn from it. And also, so traditional therapy I did some brain spotting, which was absolutely amazing, which literally rewrites the neural pathways.
Can you explain that?
I'm not an expert, but there's something called brain spotting, which, and if you Google it, you'll see lots of information. And I wrote an article that really explains it called Brain Spotting Can Set You Free.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a way to rewrite the neural pathways. It's not quite hypnotherapy. It's also in the EMDR movement, and it's so clinical that I would really suggest that they either Google it or read that article, Brain Spotting mm-hmm. Can Set You Free. But it's a way to literally, you take out, it's like you have a track on a record, mm-hmm. and every time you're on a CD, I'm aging myself here, and you know, you've got great song, great song, great song, and then you've got a song you hate. Brain spotting is a way to go in and either erase the song you hate or rewrite it so that your brain doesn't give you the same response. I use this example. A lot of people that had tumultuous childhoods and trauma in childhood, if their family still has the original home, when they'll go home for holidays, all they have to do is pull up to the driveway and they start to get a response in their body mm-hmm. or walk through that door. Or have their mother call them a name that they used to call them as a kid, and boom, you're right back there again at 7 years old.
Yep.
Brain spotting changes your response to that.
Interesting.
So it gives you more space between the stimulus and the response. Gives you more control, so it's not such a knee-jerk reaction.
Well, definitely something I'm going to have to Google after we get off this call.
Yeah, and like I said, look up Brain Spotting Can Set You Free, Tamara Starr, and there's a great short article on it that really explains how it works and gives some resources.
Well, thank you so much for being here, for talking to us, for telling your story, for sharing it. A lot of people aren't comfortable opening up to everyone else, I guess you can say. So I really do appreciate it, and I know that you have a lot of different offerings in terms of articles and books and blogs and everything. So everyone really should go who's listening to dailytransformations.com and check all that out. To be fair, just so you know, I did actually steal one of your photos. I gave you credit from one of your blogs, and I used it in my blog. So
which photo?
It was one of a woman walking down a road, and it was all gray, black and white, except she had a pink umbrella.
Oh, isn't that great? Just make sure you give photo credit so you don't get in trouble.
Oh, I did.
But I love that photo.
I gave photo credit to you. I was like, this is the article I was reading when I found it, and I gave photo credit to the photographer as well.
Doesn't it just give such a burst of emotion to look at that, you know, a dark,
really
dreary day?
I mean, sometimes you just need that burst of color, that something to basically snap you out of that thought process, even if it's just for a second. I don't like the term snap out of it, but
even if it's just for a second.
And there is science behind the fact that colors do change your brain waves or the way you're thinking.
You're absolutely right. Colors, essential oils, they cross the blood-brain barrier and go into the limbic or affect the limbic system, which is the seat of our emotions, immediately within 90 seconds. And music. Music is so powerful, especially classical.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you and I could talk for 2 hours.
Well, I thank you for being here. I really do appreciate it. We're going to be reaching out to hopefully thousands of people, and you're one of the few experts that I think can really, that people can really connect with to understand your situation, what you've been through, and you're very personable. So I think that's going to go a very long way, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. And yeah, I have to say, thank you so much for clarifying me and saying, you know, get busy. Because absolutely, I don't want people to think that, you know, they just shove it under the carpet and go for a run. It doesn't work
right.
That way.
Well, hopefully we'll talk again soon.